The latest development is that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved his war cabinet. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation in Gaza spirals downward. For more context on both of these evolving situations, we've reached Jamie Levin. He is a professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. He is in Halifax. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Why did the Prime Minister Netanyahu dismantle his war cabinet?
Well, he dismantled the war cabinet because it had already effectively stopped functioning. As of last week, it was basically a war cabinet in name only, and I'll give you some background. The war cabinet was assembled by Netanyahu in the wake of the attacks of October 7th. It was a smaller, more nimble body than the existing security cabinet, and it was meant to lead the military and diplomatic response to the attacks. But it was also far more representative of the Israeli body politic. Netanyahu brought in centrist parties representing a broad national consensus in Israel. And things like this typically only occur in Israel during times of crisis when the country is united around a singular goal. Mm. That cabinet included, the war cabinet included Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot of the centrist National Unity Party. They were two moderates. And both of them, Gantz and Eisenkot, bolted last week after an ultimatum they had given Netanyahu expired. They had demanded that Netanyahu provide a plan for the quote-unquote day after that was a clear path to ending Hamas rule, to returning the remaining Israeli hostages, and establishing some sort of administration in Gaza, which would allow Israel to wind down the war. But more broadly, I would say they left the war cabinet because the national consensus in Israel has begun to fray. Hmm. It's been nearly 9 months of war, and after this, much of the country has simply lost faith in Netanyahu's leadership. Israelis are broadly frustrated that the war hasn't managed to defeat Hamas. It hasn't managed to return the hostages. The negotiations for a ceasefire have faltered, and the risk of a second front has increased.
So Jamie, since the negotiations for a ceasefire have stalled, does this, the dissolution of the war cabinet, have any effect on that or the release of hostages?
Yeah, I think it does. It's important to note that Netanyahu retains a firm grasp on power. He may have lost 8 seats with the resignation of the centrists, but he still retains a majority in the Knesset. It's a slim majority of 64 seats out of 120, but it's a majority nonetheless. And because recent polling suggests that he wouldn't do well in a future election, he would also have to face corruption charges. He's unlikely to call an election anytime soon. Indeed, I think it's safe to say that he has every incentive to keep this coalition alive as long as possible. So what he started to do is reassemble what might be thought of as a replacement war cabinet. And it's rumored to include mostly Netanyahu loyalists and largely, though not entirely, what are thought to be moderating voices. In other words, those advocating for an end to the war, a ceasefire, and a return of the hostages. But conspicuously absent so far are Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. These are the ultra-nationalists, the far right in Israel. They were not part of the previous war cabinet because they're outside of the national consensus. And the question now is whether they will be included in this one. If they are, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir would likely pursue an expansion of the war. They've called not merely for the destruction of Hamas, but the reoccupation of Gaza and the reintroduction of Jewish settlements there. And with a narrow majority in the Knesset, Netanyahu will be far more reliant on them in the future to keep his coalition together. So over the coming days, what I'll be watching to see is whether this newly constituted war cabinet includes Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. Hmm. If it does, I think it'll signal a sharp move to the right, less diplomacy, likely no end to the war in sight, possibly even increasing the risk of a second front opening up, particularly against Hezbollah on Israel's northern border.
Jamie, really appreciate your insight this morning. Thanks for this.
Thank you very much.
Jamie